Good morning, everyone, and glad that we can worship together. All of those worshiping online, glad you're with us, and those at all of our campuses. Could I say this on behalf of everybody in the room? It's summer. It's arrived. I wore my summer sandals today. It's the first time I've worn sandals on a Sunday morning, but it's summer. Let's just have some fun with summer. Let's give thanks to God for summer. We love summers. It's great, right? Thank you, Lord, for the warmth. It's beautiful. No complaints about the humidity today. All is well. So, got a question for you as we enter into this summer. How many of you will take a day or maybe a week or beyond that and take a road trip somewhere in the course of the summer? Raise your hands. Let's just see. So, majority of you, I figured that's the case at all of our campuses as well, that, you know, the hallmark of summer is road trips. And so as we turn the page of the calendar, yes, to July, can you believe it already? We're going to suspend our study of the Gospel of John that we've been in since January. And we're going to just do a little short series called Road Trips. We're going to travel to real places in the Middle East revealed in the Bible. And we're going to learn from people who've met God on road trips with the hope and the invitation that you would do the same. That's our journey for the summer. So I encourage you, as you're taking the road trips wherever you might be, that you would stay in touch with us, that you would worship if you're away online with live stream services. Many of you are doing that even now. We're grateful for that. I want to give you a heads up, though, with our online. We're going to expand the ministry. For those who've been with us, you know about our vision called Here, Near, and Far, and the strategy 10-10-10 to be about gospel sharing and church planting in creative and compelling ways. And I get asked, what's the next rollout of our next campus that we're going to start? Well, actually, it's not in a geographical zone. This fall, we're going to launch an online campus. And we're going to do that because technology has changed how we reach people. It's a paradigm shift in the world in which we live. And so we want to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ here, near, and far. And we believe that technology and an online campus will do that. But I want to give you a glimpse of what it looks like. So I'm going to invite Tammy Stordahl, whom we've created a new role. She's going to serve as the pastor to online campus ministries. And we're excited about that. So would you welcome Tammy as she shares a little bit about the journey. We've been doing this for months, and we're very excited about what's ahead. And yet we also know that there's a journey of just understanding relationship. And it starts here with me, with Tammy, because Tammy was the very first person I hired in 1995 when we started Westwood. So she's been with us just about 25 years. It's been an amazing journey. But in that interview, she said something to me that no one has ever dared say in an interview. Since then, I've never heard anybody say this. Tell them what you said to me in the interview.
Well, I said, I will do anything behind the scenes. Just please don't put me up front.
Don't say that to me, because you know what I'm going to do, right? So it's taken 24 years, but here's Tammy.
Yeah, here I am.
Loving this moment right now. So good. I feel so happy in this moment. So.
You know, it was his personal mission over the years.
It was indeed. We've had a journey. The online deal is really interesting, but I want to be sure that we're not saying, okay, that you don't attend a local church by launching an online campus ministry.
Right. So, yeah, we're not saying that. In fact, our vision is to start new campuses and new churches across the world in the next 10 years. So we value the church and we value the local church. But what we are seeing and what experience has seen actually in other churches that have online ministries is it grows the local church. And so we also value relationships and community. And so we invite people to be on small groups, whether in person or online, and we'll invite them to visit one of our campuses if they live nearby. And if they live somewhere else and find a local church that they connect with, we are going to celebrate that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Good. Yeah. Who's it for? Because it's really interesting to think who can be reached with an online campus.
Yeah, so like all of our campuses, it's really for people who are exploring faith or wanting to grow in their faith, but we're not limited by proximity. So it's not too far to drive to this campus. You can get it anywhere all around the world. And even the last week, we've had different connections with people. One gal stopped by last weekend and said, I'm moving overseas. And I want to stay connected and engaged with Westwood. And the online campus allows her to do that in a deeper way than the live streaming does right now. And I had a great video call with a gal last week who lives in northern Minnesota. And her family got connected with our online campus or online church right now through someone who attends here. And they watch every week. They worship every week online. And this is their church from the northern woods of Minnesota. And we know of other families where that's the same as well.
Yeah, and I do too. I have a dear friend whose family left us in this community several years ago, moved to Utah. They're still in Utah with no local church that they can go to. So this is their church. You're going to meet him later this summer because they got an amazing story around how our online ministry already is effective, but the online campus really provides great opportunity,
right.
Which, by the way, I know it's a point of convenience and a way that you would get to engage when you're traveling on road trips or just away for whatever reason to tune in and worship with us online, but invite people in your spheres of influence to join in as well. It's a great way to introduce people to Westwood in the ministry. In our current online ministry, we want to encourage that along the way. How's it different than our live stream, by the way?
Yeah, you know, I think I would describe what's happening now as we have online presence, so people all around the world can worship with our services at any time, but we don't have online community. And so it takes it to a new place of from broadcasting our services to creating a campus where, like, if you come to Bush Lake or Chan, you are welcomed when you arrive, and you are prayed for, and you can be known and know other people, and you can be a part of a small group where you're growing, and you can serve from anywhere in the world, this campus. And, like, for all of us who have been called to be disciples, we are encouraging people to invest in someone else in their life.
Yeah, great. How can we help you? Because we've been working on this for months, and there's so many ways that people can actually step in and help this ministry get launched in the fall.
Right. So it launches September 8th, and right now we're building teams and recruiting volunteers. Some of them are like being a welcome host, being on the prayer team, being a small group leader. But what's so unique about this is you can serve in any of these roles from anywhere across the world. You don't have to be in Minnesota, in Chanhassen, or in Bloomington. You can serve from anywhere. So on our website, there's a box that says Online Campus is launching. And if you're interested, you can go and indicate your interest there, and we'll connect with you. Or for those who are at a campus today, you can stop by the info spot. And then I would say specifically to those who are worshiping online today, I just really want to get to know you and hear from you and get some feedback from you. So we've created a survey that's online for you to complete if you're interested, and you'll find it on the page where you watch live. So you just go to watch and live, and it's there. And you can also indicate if you want to get input along the way as we're launching the campus.
It's a brain twister, isn't it? What's happening today in the last 10 years in churches, but we want to go where God is. And God is working through this medium, and we're gonna track it. We're going to follow and see how God wants to bless it. And I just need to say to you, Tammy, because you've been an amazing servant for all of these years. You may not know, she said, I think 17 job outlines in the course of the year.
It's true.
And you just faithfully stand up. Our whole team, they're just so ready to serve God, and you've done it beautifully. We're grateful for you, your leadership. Excited about what's ahead. Would you join me? Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you.
Love it. So good. Let me encourage you to take out your teaching notes as we just launch into the message, our first in the road trip series. And my message is really quite simple today, that God wants you to know how your life works when you walk with him. It's just a beautiful passage we're going to look at today. It's this underlying conviction that God is with us. And I hope you believe that God is with us, that where you are, God is. And he's seeking to capture our attention with invitations that we would walk with him. And sometimes he'll use things like road trips just to change up the scenery of our life, to captivate our hearts in new ways, to awaken us to the reality of his presence in our life. So the change, I love the road trip idea, because we get out of the routine and we notice God in different kind of ways. So I encourage you, look for God's presence in the places and the spaces that you find yourself this summer, because he may enter into your story for various purposes. Maybe he wants to reveal through nature his beauty to you in new ways because you've lost the sense of the beauty of God in your life. Or maybe he wants to comfort you because you're at a place of need. Or maybe he wants to correct the path that you're currently on right now because it's not aligned with his will and his way. There are various reasons why he comes alongside and he shows up, but look for him to show up. In fact, I'm praying praying that you will have RTDEs. It sounds like a disease, but no, this is a disease of goodness if that's the case, that you would have RTDEs, road trip divine encounters, this summer. That's what I'm praying for all of us, because we see them again and again in the stories of Scripture and the places that they go and the places that they meet God on this good and green earth. So this summer, we're going to places like gardens and deserts and mountains and valleys and rivers and seas, because God meets us in these places. The Jesuit poet Gerard Manley Hopkins in a poem says, "The world is charged with the grandeur of God, and all is seared with trade, bleared, smeared with soil." It's a powerful little poem that speaks about the reality of God's divine beauty, and yet also the sweaty human condition that is ours and how they're bound together in ways that help us see the presence of God. Many of you will take a break from the labor of your life to go see the beauty of God. And may you see that God is present with you in it. So today we want to look at a road trip. I chose the first message that was personal to me, that has meant so much to me. It's a beautiful story about Moses who takes a road trip into the wilderness, which is a massive desert that is generally inhabitable, that you can't live in these places. I was just there about 6 weeks ago in the places where Moses was, looking over this massive desert, and it's a really challenging place to be, but God meets him there, and he meets us in practical ways as well. I want to take you into the story, the road trip, in Exodus 3, beginning at verse 1. I'm going to read the whole story. You'll find it in your program if you want to follow along that way. "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro's father-in-law. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up.' And when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.'" And I'm sure he was freaked out in that moment, just a moment. "'Do not come any closer,' God said. 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.' And then he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, 'I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into the good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt.' But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?' And God said, 'I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who sent you, that when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain.'" What a powerful and beautiful story it is. Moses has an RTDE, a road trip divine encounter, by a mountain in the wilderness. And to us, you know, Moses is viewed as this almost unrelatable person, this life that is so different when we think of him. We wonder how we could ever relate to him, because our image of Moses gets defined by Charlton Heston's playing of Moses and the square jaw and the 4 foot wide shoulders. But no, when we meet him here, he's just a guy working his job, walking in the desert with sheep. And God calls Moses to walk with him in life. No, it speaks to Moses personally and powerfully, and his story speaks to us personally and powerfully as well. How does God help you when you walk with him? That's the question I want to give energy to do. First of all, when you walk with God, he helps you discern your purpose. He truly does. In our gut, I think there is this churning within us to know God, that we all have it, and yet it gets masked sometimes because of the demands of our lives, the pressures that we go through, the tyranny of the urgent. But when we're still, that churning rises up again, and we wonder about God. We want to know God in ways that are important in our life. And this is what happens to Moses. Moses is stopped cold with this prompting and the voice of the Lord that speaks to him so personally. And I think that speaks to our hearts. We want to know God, not in superficial ways. We truly want to know who God is. And to the end that we might know who we are, why he put us on this place to begin with, and where he intends to lead us today and even into the future. We want to know these things. We want to know God, not just in the mere ritual expressions that we have in our gathering experiences and our worship times, but in deeper personal ways. Because when you experience in his presence, and I believe he's present with us even now, it touches you and it changes you. The view of self and him and of the world in which we live in your own life. And the text shows this to be true. God meets Moses, and Moses, as a result, learns more about his purpose, what God intends for him, for his living and his life. God reveals it to him in this encounter at the burning bush, but he affirms it in him as he chooses to walk with God. He chooses to walk with God as a result of this encounter. And it's relative to us. Because it's as I come to God that I get to see most about who I am about. That is, I truly find out who I am as I come to find out who he is. So I come to him, and I only come to him and get to know him when I get into his presence and I spend time with him. Moses is stopped cold in the presence of the Lord and has this time that is so personal, it changes the trajectory of his journey. Moses sees a burning bush at a distance, decides to take a short road trip to see what is that all about. It was an odd sight for him to take a look at it. And he gets to this place not knowing that in a moment he's actually going to get into the presence of God, who's going to reveal himself to Moses and set him on a path and a direction and bring clarity to the purpose in his life, this life that had something to do greater than what the shepherding responsibilities he was currently finding himself in. And God shows it to him. And I think the essence for all of us is God is saying, I want you to come. I want you to be with me. I want you to walk with me in the place that I'm going to take you. That I am your best source for finding out who you are, why you're here, and what I have in store for you, what I want to do in and through you. That you will find your purpose when you walk with me, he says. And I think the invitation for us is to walk with him, to believe that he's present, to believe that he can be known, to believe that his voice can be heard in our own lives. In verse 11, Moses asks, who am I that you would think I could do this? Because right away he's thinking to himself, I'm not qualified to do this. And God answers, you are the chosen one. I think this is part of why I love this story so much, because it's this affirmation of God choosing Moses. And we all want to be chosen. I'm just curious, how many of you, when you were in grade school, played dodgeball in your grade schools? Yeah, a good number of you, right? I mean, I don't know why that's such a big deal in grade school, but it is. And I particularly didn't like how they did it in our grade school. So the teachers would choose one kid who would be the team captain. And that team captain would then systematically select the kids that he wanted on his team. It's the first time that I remember psychological warfare in my mind of concerning, will I be chosen? Will I be, please choose me? Because you don't want to be the last to be chosen. It means you're a terrible dodgeball player along the way. These things seem so important at the time. But it's about being chosen and selected. And what we find here is God chose Moses. And God chooses you and me for his team. And by the way, it's a winning team. You want to say yes to be on this team. He chooses us. What a beautiful picture. And yet the voices in our head are really loud, and we say, I don't feel qualified. And I feel that. I mean, I think we'd all own that. When God calls us for clear purposes, we don't feel qualified for it. I don't. When God set me out to plant and start a church, I did not feel qualified for it. I'd never started a church. I felt utterly afraid for my life. And I thought, wow, we got 90 people. Would God bless and allow us? Would he allow us to reach 200 people or 300 people? I had no idea how God would pour his blessings on us through these years. But I'll confess to you, as it's grown, sometimes I feel utterly unqualified. I feel the weight of the call in different kinds of ways. And then I'm awakened to the reality of even what Moses is going here, because God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He gives you what you need to go where he wants you to go. And as I step into the presence of God with the belief that he gives me everything that I need for every day and every season and every week and every message, it flows from heaven to me. I can be set free in that reality, as all of us can be. No, he qualifies you as you abide in him and walk with him and go with him. So when you walk with God, he not only helps you discern your purpose, there's something else we see in this story. When you walk with God, he helps you to lead your family. Oh, you think about that in terms of your call of God in your life, that's one of the purposes he has, that God says, I've called you, Moses, to come into my presence because I want to set you out on a road trip because there are a lot of people in trouble. In fact, you're related to them all, he says. They're your family. Wow, how God defines family is so much greater, broader, better than how we define family. Moses' family included his brother and his sister, Aaron and Miriam. That was part of the nuclear journey that he was in. But there's an extended family, a nation of millions that are included among his family. And that's the point to Moses. This is your family. And he's about to take a big trip into the heart of Egypt, not to see the sights, but to be the voice of hope and freedom for the family. So God helps us, I think, the takeaway from that for me. God helps us to help those who are closest to us, to lead those in our closest spheres of influence, our family members, who many of them are in trouble, into places of freedom. That is, many of your family members are in this place where they could use a touch from you. And the Lord seems to say, come with me. I want to work through you to make a difference in your family, your nuclear family, in the towns in which you live, but in the nations that I bring before your presence. There's a personal word in here. Some of you have family dynamics that are more like bondage than they are freedom. I'm not going to have you raise your hands because everybody would raise their hands. Right now, you're thinking about Uncle Joe. He got issues, that guy. He got trouble in his life. And you think about it all the time. Have you ever thought about connecting the things that God puts in your mind to being a means to bring help and hope and freedom to those who are feeling that kind of trouble? I think this is what he's calling us. Maybe the 4th of July, the road trip some of you will be taking to family members, and you might even be pensive about going, wondering what fireworks are about to be set off in our family journey. And he's calling you to bring encouragement, help, or hope to family members, potentially even this week on your road trip. Just look for his presence. Listen to his prompting if he invites you to bring that help. And then there's a community word in here that beyond the nuclear family, there's a family of God that is ours in relationships with people who are different than us, but important to us, who are in trouble, who need help or healing, or need to know the beauty of the presence of Jesus. Reading this passage affirms so much to me the here, near, far vision that we've set out up till 2028. And the 10-10 strategy to bring gospel sharing, the beauty of Christ, and church planting into the nations, the world that has come to our doorstep. I'm energized by another affirmation in the story of God to the vision that he's given to us. Now, when you walk with God, he helps you to know your purpose in life. He also uses your life and leads you to bring freedom and joy and help to those in trouble in your family. And third, when you walk with God, he helps you develop maturity. And you may think, I don't want to be more mature. I'm happy with my maturity right now. Thank you very much. And you think that because usually you mature when you have to go through hardship. And you go, I got enough hardship. I don't want to grow anymore, God. This is the way of God. No, he invades your comfort zone. If you're really comfortable with your life right now, maybe you need to ask the question, is God really in my life? Because God delights to make us uncomfortable so that we'll lean on him and not on ourselves. That's the picture. He wants us to mature. I think about the words from Paul in Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Christ Jesus. That he's growing you from day to day, month to month, season to season of your life, and using the reality of life, hardship, pain, and challenge to be part of that reshaping experience. A few years ago, I gave an invitation for you to take a next step to grow your faith. Wherever you are in your faith journey, take a next step because God wants us to take that next step. And yet, I think about the reality of that invitation. It's only when you're cognizant of the presence of God in your life that you're motivated to take the next step. Isn't that true? If somehow I don't have to think about God or think about him being present with me, it changes the motivation factor of how I might enter into letting him change, grow me up in the way he wants me to be. I think about the first time I preached a sermon. I remember it vividly. It was on Matthew 5:48, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." And I was scared to death to stand in front of people and to teach a message in the presence of God as well. And then I learned that the senior pastor of the church, my mentor and my supervisor, was going to be present when I taught the message. Now, knowing that my supervisor was in the room when I'm teaching the message, it influenced how I prepared for the message. It motivated me in a different kind of way. Now, I would grow up in an understanding of that my ultimate supervisor is God himself, and he's always present. And when I'm cognizant of his presence, my motivation to prepare is different. And when I prepare a message, I'm mindful, yes, of you, but I am most mindful of him. And it changes my motivation, my preparation. I will not take shortcuts on any message because I'm aware of his presence. And I want to give myself fully to him and his word and what he has for us. And I think it's the same for you. To grow up in Christ means that you're aware that he's present, and your motivation to honor him and to follow his will and way goes in this direction. So what happened to Moses? God met him right where he was at. Moses was making a living caring for sheep, but the text doesn't tell us the whole story here, by the way. As a younger guy, he was actually working in Pharaoh's palace. He knew Pharaoh personally. He had a personal relationship with him. But then he did this stupid thing. There was a rash act that Moses instigated, and it caused him to flee for his life. And he fled into the hills to pick up a job that he knew that he could do, and that was shepherding. It was containable. He had knowledge about it. So he doesn't come into the presence of God with any idea that God would somehow be ready to use him, nor did he feel entitled that God would want to use him. He feels utterly disqualified because he's fleeing. You know, God comes to Moses just where he is. And he's a guy on the run. I don't want you to miss this. It's not that he's a coward. He's not a coward. He's just a guy under pressure. He feels pressure. Like, we're that way all the time. We just feel pressure all the time. It's really hard to attend to the presence of the Lord when we're consumed with the pressure of life. His life was not turning out the way he expected. You know, I'm sure in his head he's thinking, what's next? But he's doing the safe job, a job that he could do, a shepherding job. But there's so much more for him. He just doesn't know what it is. It just makes me ask the question, have you ever felt that way? Have you ever said, Lord, I just want my life to count somehow and somewhere, but how and where would you make that happen? Because it seems like every time I set out to do it, it falls short of what I think would happen. It doesn't turn out the way I'd hoped it would turn out. And that's where the Lord met Moses. And I believe that's where the Lord meets us all of the time. It's not the way we expected it to be. And now I'm called to turn to him, to walk with him anew. Friends, Moses' life was really a hard life. God captures his attention with this glow over by a mountain, and he looks. He changes the direction of what he's giving attention to with the sheep, and he looks. And God knows that he's looked. And God's ready now to meet him as Moses prepares and goes to find out what's going on. Here's the deal. God sees you when you look. When something captures your attention and you look, he's prompted you. And he sees you when you get up and go, and he wants you to go so that as you come to him, he will meet you and direct your path. In this story, Moses approaches this odd glow, and the Lord says to him, Moses, Moses. And he takes that next step on the path, which was for him to stop cold where he was, to wait and to listen. Oh yeah, God's captured his attention now, and he's coming, his eyes open, his ears attuned, and so should we stop and listen. That is the key to maturing in faith. Somewhere on your life walk, you will hear God speaking to your heart with your name, telling you that he knows who you are and that he has a plan for you. And I think that's what Moses experiences. I think he experiences a personal word from the Lord. I think the Lord is saying to him, I know you, Moses. I know what you're going through. I know how you got to where you are. I know how stuck you feel. And I know what you're doing and why you're doing it. And I have a plan for you moving forward. It gets that personal. He senses it. He knows it. And I think it's the same for us. God knows you. In fact, in Isaiah 49, he said, I've written your name on the palm of my hand. I love that passage. It makes me wonder, is there a thing, such a thing as a divine tattoo? Everywhere I go, everybody has a tattoo. I'm feeling left out these days. I don't have a tattoo, but I notice everybody seems to have a tattoo. I'm not going to have you raise your hands because the person next to you may not know. They don't need to know. I wonder, my name is written in the palm of God's hand. It feels so permanent. As compared to maybe some of our tattoos, I think about this. My entrepreneurial side, if I was to start a business, it would be a tattoo removing business in about 10 years. As people go, I don't want that anyway. I want a different image. Oh no, God's not going to remove it. Your name is on the palm of his hand and he's calling your name and he wants you to walk with him. God says something odd here, but really beautiful. He says, Moses, take off your sandals. This is why I love the story. It is so powerful what he's doing here. Take off your, why would you say that? It seems so odd. Why would you say that? I think there are a couple of reasons. This is why I wear sandals today, by the way. First, he's giving you the real picture of our lives, that where we walk, our sandals, our feet pick up things along the way, dirt and dust, that can be an obstacle and a barrier to going where God wants us to go. And he's saying, you got to get rid of some of the things that keep you from seeing with clarity the purpose that I have for you, where I want to lead you, that keeps you from growing up and maturing in me. But secondly, he says, take off the sandals, not just one sandal. Because these sandals that you walk in represent the work of your hands, the things that you've made. And I think God is saying, I want you to take off what you've made and stand on what I've made. So when I'm barefoot, I feel the earth differently. I walk more cautiously. I don't want to stub my toe. I pay attention. He said, Moses, Moses, Joel, Joel, put your own name in there. I want you to hear my voice. I know your name. I know what you're going through. I want to set you on a path. But sometimes you let the things that you make get in the way of what I have made and want to make in and through your life. No, he says, take your sandals off and walk with me is the invitation. To mature and to grow starts with Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. It means literally to walk softly with the Lord, to walk humbly with him. We learn to walk with God when we take off our shoes and let our feet stand in the place that God made for us. That's where the holy ground is. The holiest of all ground is where you stand available for the words and the work of God in your life right now, wherever you might be. So wherever you go this summer, whether it be a home trip, a long road trip, or just in your backyard, know that God is capturing your attention. And when you look, he notices that you look and he invites you to come. And when you come and you go and you stop and you wait like Moses, you get to hear his voice. Joel, Joel, I am with you. I will show you how your life works when you walk with me. So walk with me. That's the invitation. God wants you to know how your life works, friends, when you walk with him. And as you walk with him, you will quickly begin to know who God is as revealed to us through Jesus Christ. And you will see that Jesus took a road trip to Jerusalem, to the cross, that would change the trajectory of everything in your life, who you understand God to be, who you understand yourself to be, and understanding of why you're here and where you're going. It starts with the beauty of God revealed in the person of Christ, which takes us to the table where we take the bread, mindful of his presence and his coming. We take the cup, mindful that he went all the way on that road trip to the cross for your sin to set it free so that we can know God and hear his voice and his prompting in our life. No, this is the best walk. So I invite you as we come to the table to pray with me. Father God, thank you for this beautiful gift revealed in Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to know you better. We want to know how our life is supposed to work. And yes, you show up in unusual places, everyday places, and you invite us to walk with you. As Jesus walked the face of the earth and went all the way to the cross on our behalf, So, Father, we embrace the reality that this is what allows us to rid ourselves of the things that get in the way, to know that we are washed clean of our sin and the distraction so that we can live in vital relationship with you, and in so doing have eyes to see and ears to hear what it means to walk with you and how our life works when we do. Bring us to the cross again, that we might walk with you anew through the promise of your Son and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.